Hey, Bears fans, this is Cole Wright from Marquee Sports Network. Now, we know you can never get enough Bears, so join us Tuesday for Bear Essentials, a recap of this week's Bears action and analysis of the week ahead. Then, we'll re-air this week's Bears game at 7 o'clock on Marquee Sports Network.
What is your name, please?
Waddle and Sylvie.
Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
All right, let's talk to the new White Sox closer. Liam Hendricks was a guy that you knew was out there and was at the top of his game. Not only is he a stud on the mound, Waddle, but he also, in the 3 years that he was in Oakland, two of the years, he won the Roberto Clemente Award. So he's a guy on and off the field that you can be really, really proud of. And he joins us right now on the Corona Hotline on Waddle and Sylvie. Liam Hendricks, welcome to Chicago.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
How jacked up are you about this White Sox team? Obviously, you saw them up close and personal in the postseason last year. What are your impressions of your new crew?
Well, that's a good reason why I ended up trying to figure out something to come here. It's a good group of guys, but you obviously see what they're able to do on the field, and they're all here for a while as well. They're all young, they're all hungry. They've got the few veteran guys mixed in with Lance Lynn, Jose Abreu, Yasmani Grandal, Keuchel, and now hopefully you can call me a veteran. I guess I don't know. This is all new territory for me, so I don't know where we're going.
Well, you know, you've been through a lot. Your story is an amazing story, as people can hear. You're from Australia. You picked up baseball at a very young age, and for a while there, you were going from team to team, and then you turned it on about 2.5 years ago. What clicked for you, Liam?
I think I was just really tired of moving. to me, it was a mindset change. I stopped kind of going out there thinking that I was entitled to something and started being just grateful for every moment I was in this game, because in 2018, it almost all went away. It was almost all gone with me getting DFA'd. I wasn't sure if I was ever going to get to the big leagues again. And we kind of took a step back, both my wife and I, and adjusted our mindset to being like, look, let's stop expecting things and getting pissed off when they don't come. Let's just live in the moment, and if good things happen, good things happen. And that's the way we've kind of gone about it. And to refer back to you when you referenced me as the White Sox closer, I'm not the closer. I'm just one of the relievers on the White Sox right now. And if I want to be the closer, I've got to earn it. And that's what spring training's for.
Liam, how important was the increased velocity for you? And what was it mechanically that you may have altered to be able to throw the ball harder?
Well, I changed my workout program, so I pretty much just stopped working out. And then I, instead of running, like doing the conditioning and stuff like that, I end up starting to power shake. So I just act as an outfielder during batting practice and try and track things down in the alley and all this sort of stuff. And then I long toss every single day. So it was a lot of long toss, and then I throw a flat ground. So I throw all of my pitches to a catcher that was down, but just on a flat ground. And that seemed to kind of, the increase in velocity came from that. But not only that, I was able to repeat my delivery a lot more. So everything was kind of fluid. Everything kind of came out the exact same way every time. And when it's consistent and you're able to repeat things, that's when everything kind of takes to that next level, because everything moves in the right direction. There's nothing hindering. There's no sort of friction between any muscles working against each other.
Liam Hendricks joining us. It sounds like the old phrase, work smarter, not harder. It really helped you.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, I'm never going to be one to claim that I'm extremely smart either, so I just lucked into this. But, I like to work as minimal as possible with getting the best results, which is, I guess, smarter more than harder.
Have you had an opportunity to talk with your new Hall of Fame manager, Tony La Russa, who obviously is somebody who historically has always valued the role of the closer?
Yeah, I mean, obviously you see what he was able to do with the A's with Eck back in the day, and yeah, I spoke to him a little bit after we did an initial Zoom call. I spoke to him a couple times after that. But I've dealt with Tony for a few years now with his Animal Rescue Foundation, and the fact that being with the A's, he'd come in and sit around and stuff like that. So we had some chats there. And yeah, since everything's come out and stuff, we've had a couple of texts going back and forth about, yeah, we may have one of, if not the best team on the American League on paper. But at the end of the day, paper's only good for the offseason. Paper doesn't matter once the season starts. It's about chemistry in the clubhouse. It's about moving forward as a group and having no egos and making sure that if something happens and someone else is pitching the ninth, or if whatever happens, everyone is okay with it and everyone moves forward, because as long as we're winning games, I don't care what happens.
Liam Hendricks joining us, the new White Sox reliever, not closer. I could tell what you're saying is legit, like that it's coming from the heart, all this stuff. So the mindset that you now have, Liam, are you good with kind of teaching that to the younger players as well? A lot of people learn one thing for themselves, but then sometimes they may not be outward on passing it out. Are you a teacher as well?
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the reasons, that's one of the things I stressed on the Zoom calls with the White Sox and the other teams I spoke to was, look, I've been through a lot in this game, whether it's being designated five times, whether it's being gone from an opener to a starter, or a starter to a reliever, to a middle reliever, to an opener, to a closer. Like, I've done pretty much everything there is to do on that side of things with my roles and everything. But I've also just done a lot of growing up mentally. I've had some great teachers in the bullpen from myself as well. Like, I dealt with LaTroy Hawkins, who played in the big leagues for 20 years. Mm-hmm. I've dealt with Ryan Madsen and John Axford, who, I mean, you look at Ryan Madsen's story, he was out of baseball for 3 or 4 years and came back and had another 4 years after that. John Axford, who was a college kid who was undrafted, I'm pretty sure, and then made his mark with the Rockies and then played together with the A's. And then you look at Joaquin Soria, who's been around forever, doing great things for, like, an ex-White Sox who actually reached out to asking about the team and the chemistry and the guys and stuff. And then you look at Yusmeiro Petit, who's done the same kind of realm as I have with being DFA'd, being a starter, being all of this sort of things. And the careers that these guys have had, I mean, you can learn something from absolutely everybody, whether a guy who's got 3 days in the big leagues or a guy who's got 25 years in the big leagues. You can always learn something from anybody, and that's just that's the biggest thing. But hopefully the biggest thing I can impart onto guys is nothing's given. Everything is, like, you got to earn absolutely everything you get. If you ever get given something, if that gets taken away, it stings a lot more than if you've gone out and earned it first.
Liam, the contract is well deserved. It's a big contract. So guys who have signed large free agent contracts in the past, some guys struggle because they press too much to justify the signing. Is that something that you are conscious of, that you've got to make sure that you don't try to do too much to justify the contract?
I feel like I've been in a similar situation the last few years. Obviously, in 2018, I was DFA, came back up and got the opening start of the wild card game. So the next year I had to justify, okay, well, I need to get better from that start. And so then I came out in 2019 and had a pretty good year and took over the closing roles with Oakland. And then the year after that, the offseason, everyone's like, okay, well, that was a flash in the pan. That's not what he is. He's going to go back to everything. And it was just kind of, no, I'm going to go out and prove to you that that was who I am and this is what we're going to do. And then obviously 2020, the shortened season and everything like that happened. So it's been that way the last couple of years where I've gone and had to prove to everybody that, no, this wasn't a fluke, this wasn't a shot in the dark, this wasn't just a flash in the pan, this is something that is me, and this is who I am now, and this is how I'm going to go about doing things. So I'm not really changing mindset-wise of, like, where I get financially or anything like that. It's just proving to everybody out there that, look, you can pay me however much you want, but I will make this look like a bargain. Right. And that's my biggest thing. I'm not just going to make it worth it, I'm going to make it look like it was an absolute steal. And that's just my mindset going into it, about proving, just telling everybody, look, you don't think I can do it? Watch me compete, watch us win a ring.
Awesome. Liam Hendricks joining us. It's Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000. All right, so the standard's pretty high, Liam. Luke Longley won 3 championships here. Can you break his record?
Well, I've actually met Luke. He's from my hometown. So I met him when I came over in 2007 with the Twins. I met him before I signed a deal and was like, hey, what do you think I should do? Do you think I should go to college, or do you think I should go to professional baseball? Straight into the pros. And he was like, okay, let's talk about it. He goes, what colleges have reached out, or what college have you got an opportunity to go to? I'm like, well, it's a D3 in Iowa. He just looks at me and goes, go straight into the system. Like, let's just go straight into the system. So I know Luke a little bit. Like, I actually brought it up to my agent. I'm like, look, tell him what happened last time they brought an Australian in. It worked well. So, yeah, Luke was able to bring 3 championships back to Chicago. I mean, I'm here for 3, but it's going to be 4 because I have complete faith in myself that I'm going to make this deal look like a bargain. They're going to pick up that option. So, and then we can talk about it from there. But look, this is a team that's going to that has a window to compete over the next 4, 5, 6 years. We've got a bunch of young guys on this team that are hungry, that want to do it. They got a little bit of a taste of it last year. And this is a group that's going to stick together for the longer haul. And yeah, I'm excited. I mean, 3 rings obviously is a lot to say, but I definitely see at least one and us competing for all 3, 4 years that I'm here as well. And it's just, we've got the right pieces. And from what I'm hearing, we've got the right leadership and the right owner to get it all done as well. Like, he cares a lot about this game.
Liam, how do you pick up baseball? So I know you played Australian rules football. I know your dad played. So here you are, you're young. How do you find a wiffle ball bat, and how do you start playing baseball in Australia?
Well, usually the way to pick up a baseball is with your hands.
Touché.
I was looking for an off-season sport. Like, I played football during the winter, and then I needed something during the summer. So you pick up a ball, and it's cricket or baseball or t-ball or what it was at the time. So you just pick up a ball, and some of my friends joined the t-ball group, and so I'm having an iron between cricket or t-ball, and I went with my friend group. So I went to t-ball and just kind of stuck it out because I don't like to quit things, especially when I'm struggling. Like, I don't like to suck. I don't like to fail. I don't like to be told I'm not as good as somebody else. So what do I just stuck with it. And yeah, under 14 state team, I got cut first cut from that. Then I got cut first cut from my state under 14 secondary team. So I wasn't even in the best 25 kids in my state. And then the next year I worked at it and all of a sudden was the top 6 in the state. So it's something that I hold a lot of pride in, the fact that I stuck it out. And this is where it led me to, really.
You need to hang out with Waddle. Waddle's my co-host, the other guy you're talking to. Waddle played for the Chicago Bears in American football, and he was cut 3 times by Mike Ditka before he had a legendary career with the Bears.
Okay, my question is, do you still eat at Ditka's restaurant then?
I think that with the pandemic, I think they actually closed it, but there was plenty of nights where I actually did eat at the coach's restaurant, Liam.
Okay, that's good to know, because if you keep that relationship going, it means you didn't burn any bridges, right?
Oh, of course not. Yeah, free meals for a very long time.
If you get me an NFL ball, I will kick it as much as you want. Like, that's what I've been working on. It's a secondary plan of me, possibly, you never know, just suiting up for the Bears and having a little punt out there and see how it goes.
Oh, can you throw
the 49ers? The 49ers punt is from Perth as well. He's Mitch Wishnowski. He's from Perth. He's from about half hour from where I grew up. And yeah, it's one of the things. We've got good feet. That's about it.
All right. I was going to say, we do actually have a good kicker. Can you play quarterback?
if you see me throw, I'm probably going to be better left-handed. My wife can definitely out-throw me without a doubt.
Okay. All right. Well, it was worth
Liam,
a try.
Look, I know Sox fans are so excited for the team to begin with. And then when you signed, they got even more excited. And I'm sure after they heard you on with us, I mean, you couldn't be more fun to have. Hopefully we can do this again. And we can't wait to meet in person. Thank you.
Congratulations.
No, thanks,
Liam,
for having me, guys. I really appreciate the time. And I'm excited to be a part of this team. I'm excited to be a part of the city. And I can't wait for fans to be back in the stands so I get to engage a little bit with them as well.
That's awesome.
Liam Hendricks.
Thanks, Liam.
New in the bullpen with the White Sox, and what an attitude as far as I got to earn it. Like, he earned it already, and the money they're paying him, he's going to close. But that's a guy who has faced adversity many, many different times, and now he's on top of the world. And you talk about a personality. Let's do a weekly with Liam Hendricks right now. I'm calling it first.
Good call.
You hear that, Mike Thomas?
Good call. Well done.
There you go. All right, so we'll talk to JD at 4:30. It's 332-3776 if you want to react to what you heard from Liam Hendricks.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Follow at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87 on Twitter.
Hendricks telling us that he stopped thinking that he was entitled to be the closer, to do this or to do that, and he just went out and was grateful for the experience and changed the way he worked out.
You know, it sounds like, too, like he's a guy that obviously approaches it the right way. I do think that there are a lot of players, regardless of sport, that get paid and then go out there and try to press. And then ultimately, it kind of affects what they're trying to do. So it's a big contract, but he told you at the end, he's going to make sure everyone thinks they're getting a bargain.
Yeah,
it's a good approach.
That's a great approach. Keith on the north side, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Keith?
Fellas, first of all, I want to say thanks to ESPN for being the only station this year that's going to provide us with playoff baseball, because it's not coming from the north side. Second of all, Liam Hendricks, I already got him paid the 67 saves.
67
out of 100 wins.
Wow. What's a lot? What's a record for a season?
Is it still 50?
What's the record? It's over 70. I don't have him breaking the record this year. He'll do that next year when we win back-to-back World Series.
It's 62. Francisco Rodriguez in 2008, I believe.
Okay,
it's 62 saves.
He'll break it this year, then he'll break it again next year.
I don't know if you want him pitching that much, to tell you the truth. I mean, you want him. You want these guys to be fresh in the postseason, too, and they've got a really good bullpen with great young arms.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And look, you got the Sox are going to mash, too, so hopefully some of these games are bigger than three-run leads where you don't even need the
We're going to call in the soft toss and lefty, Mark Silverman, to come in and mop up with a 10-run lead. Do you know how to pick up a baseball, Sylvie?
That was a good line.
He was good.
I didn't expect that. How'd you pick up baseball? Well, with my hand.
With my hand.
Boy, how about in Luke Longley's from, you know, you never want to assume because it's a big country. You know what I mean? Like, hey, you're from so-and-so, so you should know this. But sure enough, him and Luke Longley
You're from the United
town.
States, so am I.
Right.
We could have been neighbors.
But they were from the same town. That's pretty cool.
It's cool to have him in town. I like it. A lot of enthusiasm. Listen, some of the enthusiasm that we had when the football season wasn't projected well, but now we have baseball to look forward to after a basketball season that I think will be a little better than most anticipated, but we've got some baseball on the south side to be excited about.
Let's go. Like, if you go through our teams, the Bears' arrow is where? Up, down, sideways.
I mean,
I think it's down.
I would say probably down. I mean, it's been sideways. They went 8-8, then they went 8-8 and got into the postseason because they expanded the playoffs. I guess that's arrow sideways. But when you consider now the quarterback situation,
yes,
which was always
your
situation.
And Lewis Riddick told us that you're stuck. And there's, I think,
don't have a lot of cash to spend.
Diagonally down, okay? If it's not straight down, it's a diagonal down.
I just I want to hear a presentation on how it's going to get. What makes? How can you convince me that it's going to get materially better next year with all of the factors in place?
That's why I was pitching you Jimmy Garoppolo earlier, because I was just trying to think of. Like, of who the guys who could be out there this year that you may not have to trade for. Maybe he gets released, you know. But, you know, you could go for Jameis Winston. You could go for Cam Newton. You could stay with Nick Foles. Who else is going to be? I mean, do you want to – you're not going to trade for Matt Stafford, are you?
No, I'm not, because I'm not ready to win.
The Falcon – like, you look at Matt Ryan's contract. It's insane. It's like $40 million.
Matty Ice is – like, he's the – he's the quarterback that takes you where you want to go because every other part of your team is ready to win. Like, I don't know that that's the case here.
So the Cubs' arrow is down, yes?
Yeah,
way
down, right? No doubt.
All right, so that's two teams down. Hawks' arrow, way down.
I would say the Bulls' arrow is up, but because they're coming off the floor.
Exactly. And, like, the Bulls' arrow is up with so much room above them.
Yeah.
It only could go up, but at least now we're trending upwards and we're having fun again watching basketball and we're seeing where everybody is. I'm taking it one step at a time. I'm not yelling them. Look, I'd like them to finish some games, but I'm not like going crazy because they didn't finish in both LA teams and then the game in Sacramento.
Well, they got another chance tonight in Oklahoma City.
Yeah. And then there's the Sox. The Sox arrow is the only one with a championship arrow going up.
Yeah, I mean, I would think in passing say that he thought that the Sox were the team to beat in the American League.
We have that, right, Chris? Jeff Passan from I think he was on with Cap and Hoodie earlier. Yesterday it was. It was just kind of like his throwaway about how good the White Sox can be.
That was before the DJ LeMahieu news.
Yeah, I'm looking for it. Hold on.
Yeah. I think a lot of people have termed it. I forgot who it was, but saying that right now you don't want to say the Sox won the offseason yet because there are still so many guys who are out there.
Yeah.
There's still so many Springers out there to sign. Who's going to get Bauer? You just mentioned LeMahieu re-signed with the Yankees. So, but yeah, that's fine.
You want to hear the passing?
Yeah, here it is.
Say what you will about Jerry Reinsdorf's spending in the past. He treats his employees extremely well, and he has gone out and put his money where his mouth is over the last two off seasons. And because of it, right now, as of today, January 14th, 2021, I think the White Sox are the favorite to win the American League pennant. That could change with free agent signings or trades very easily. But as of today, I think they've got the best team in the American League.
Maybe those chances are bolstered if they go out and they sign Trevor Bauer to a one-year deal as a free agent. Maybe.
What do you think? When you say that, what comes to your mind? I know you're saying
that,
it.
That it's unlikely, but I would not completely write it off. Would you? You give it a 0% chance? I don't give it a 0% chance.
5% chance?
I don't know. He wants 1 year, right? Didn't he say? Isn't that what he said? Is that, or is that just
has
him?
Has he said that he's wanted 1 year?
I thought he said he wanted a short-term cut. You're the one that follows him on Twitter. You tell me.
I think he would take... Yeah, I think he wants the best possible deal for him. So I don't think he's like phrased it that he's looking for a one-year deal. I think he would be open to it if it was like a big one-year deal where he could go win.
Well, right? If you're the Sox, I got spending money. I got gambling money. Like, if he's looking for 1 year, and you find a way to come up with that cash?
What do you think he would want for 1 year? What is even the market these days for?
I don't know.
I mean, he would have signed if there
30
was
million
something
for 1 year.
He like if he heard here,
right? I mean, 30 million for 1 year. Is that?
I mean, look. Well, if you look at the pitching contracts, look at the top of the top shelf pitchers, okay, who are signed right now, they get I want to say 35. What did they get 35 a year for over 8 years? So why would he sign 1 year for 30?
What I got? I got DeGrom at $36 million. I got Scherzer at $34 million. I think for the year. Verlander's 33. I think I'm.
What did Cole sign for? Garrett Cole signed for last year.
Garrett Cole is making $36 million in 2021.
All those guys are 30+. Why would Bauer, coming off his best year, risk it and sign only a 1 year deal below market value?
It's a really good question, but I think he was the one that suggested that he was looking for a short-term deal. Am I wrong about that?
I think he said he was open to it. I don't think he said he was looking for that. I think he's looking for eight years and $35
million
per year.
Okay, who's out there willing to write the check in this environment?
That's the team
on the north side told you that you had biblical losses of biblical proportion.
Right, right. And that's why I think there in the end could be deals to be had. Now, look, what was it? Was it two off seasons ago where we kept saying, what's going on with Machado? What's going on with Harper? Nothing's happening this off season. And they both ended up getting mega deals. Mega. We thought maybe the reason they're waiting is because no one's biting. But they still found ways to make over $300 million deals. I'm not saying that that's going to happen with Bauer, but...
I think the landscape's different too. Like those deals that was signed well before COVID.
Of course. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean, I don't know that there's who's out there other than like the Dodgers kind of bucked the trend and paid Mookie Betts, right? I mean, LeMahieu deal is $90 million over 6 years.
Right.
Good money, but
if I'm Bauer and I'm coming off my best year, knowing how pitching and health happens, it is what the market dictates, but I'm not taking a 1 year deal unless I'm like getting overpaid for 1 year. If they say, oh, we'll give you $45 million, we'll give you $40 million above market value for 1 year. Because wouldn't you think this is the highest high that he could possibly go out on or sign a deal for?
Probably. I'm looking up something here, and I pulled up an article. Interested teams suggest Trevor Bauer. This was a tweet from John Heyman from December 29th of 2020. So, what, 2 weeks ago?
Mm-hmm.
Interested teams suggest Trevor Bauer seeks a 5 or 6 year deal for $36 million to $40
million. Yeah,
about $200 million.
That's pre-COVID market value. Can he get that? And that's why I don't think, that's why I think if he would sign a 1 year deal, you would have to do that over.
Okay, I texted Jeff Meller. I asked him, what does Bauer want? And Meller responded, he's talked about how he thinks a 1 year deal could keep him motivated, but I bet he only takes a 1-2 year deal if he doesn't like the long term deals he's being offered in light of the pandemic.
Right, right.
So maybe you could find a 2 year deal that would make him feel warm and fuzzy.
Interesting. Let's talk to JD about the Bears. How would he sum up this week? Coming off the playoff game, coming off the press conference, coming off what George McCaskey told us and doubled down on Ted Phillips, and absolutely no changes. We'll talk to JD coming up next.
Coming up next.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
NFL action. We have not talked a lot about the games, and I have a Packer question for Bears fans.
Ooh.
That I teased earlier in the show. We'll
How
do
much
that.
Do you hate the Packers? A lot? A ton?
God, the opposite of that. You know, George, not a lot of people loved when George was like, go Rams, you know? Like, you're so into beating the Packers, or so into the Packers losing, but yet you can't find a way to beat them. You know, you're like going meathead with the go Rams stuff. Well, beat them yourself. Find a way to beat them. Change things up. Well, why can't you guys find the solution?
By the way, Arthur Smith has, in fact, reached a deal to become the Falcons head coach.
Yeah. Did you see there's some talk online about Dave Ragone going with him?
Oh, really? I did not know that.
Dave Ragone is the Bears right now, their passing game coordinator.
I think there's more job security with Arthur Smith in Atlanta probably than staying here in Chicago. So
I think it was Jeremy Fowler who was saying he could be his OC.
Okay.
He tweeted something about one name to watch. Let's talk to JD about that and other things. He's brought to you by Miller Lite, the official beer of the Chicago Bears. And JD, how do you sum up the week you just went through?
Oh, boy. Well, wonderful to be with you guys. You know, Sylvie, if I told you it was a surprise, I'd be lying to you, my friend. So I did not walk away from Wednesday's Zoom calls with my head exploding, because I have been around this team for a long time, and I have seen a lot. And this to me, I guess, you know, wasn't a huge surprise that they chose to do really nothing, but it's nonetheless, I think, the wrong decision. And I think if you're a Bears fan, it's very disappointing. But like, I didn't get all freaky on Wednesday because, honestly, Sylvie, I mean, I lived through the Three Bears press conference after 2009, you know.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I was sitting there when Mark Trestman said that he wants the team to be selfish and undisciplined, and they were. I've seen all of this. I've seen the true lack of accountability. The only thing that I really just my jaw dropped, but again, not to the point where I was like, I've never in a million years thought they would say this. I'm just so stunned that the approach they took was to harp on the culture during a 6-game losing streak. I mean, wow. I mean, that's really what you're basing this on, because everyone got along and there were no fist fights. How about the fact that you lost 6 games in a row in the first place? That, to me, is an absolute indictment on the franchise. And it's one thing to get yourself out of adversity, but when you are responsible for creating the adversity yourself, it doesn't really mean as much to me if you find a way to wiggle out of it. And they really didn't, because they had a chance against Green Bay and New Orleans, guys, to really change the narrative and prove to people that that three-game winning streak, as the three of us said, shouted to the mountaintops, it was a fluke. It was because they played bad teams. Then they had a chance to really prove that that wasn't the case, and they fell flat on their face. So, Sylvie, I wasn't going to drive up there and fight anybody. My friend, it is just, and I said this to Cap and Jonathan this morning, and I really mean this. It's like, listen, you know, you talk to a lot of us that cover the Bears, and most of us, not all of us, most of us have a hard time giving them the benefit of the doubt because we have seen how they operate up close and personal for so many years that stuff like this happens. That's how I felt.
Two things, JD. A, how does a press conference like that happen? Because there was no chance, once you knew that there were going to be no changes, and the vast majority of Bears fans wanted changes, at that point you know you're not going to win the press conference. But they went beyond not winning the press conference. But, I mean, the message of collaboration, when you have your coach and your general manager collaborating on decisions that end up being bad decisions, what is the value of collaboration, and how can a couple of guys that are sitting at the top of a $3 billion organization kind of try and say that to you without having a smirk on their face?
Well, there were no smirks. I can tell you that much. There were no smirks. I mean, look, Tom, we have seen this.
You're
okay.
Right. You're right.
Again, like, this is what
these are all
do.
Rhetorical questions, right?
Now, look, good guys. If there was ever a moment that they could have stepped in and said, you know what? Okay, if we want to keep the GM and the head coach, which we know is going to be unpopular, I think the GM more so than the head coach, but whatever. This is the time to maybe reorganize some things and put in that person above the GM to act as another buffer, to add more accountability, and to really help our football decision-making, okay? They chose not to.
Right.
Because in their mind, their system works. In my response to that, again, guys, we are on a Zoom where we have to be called on to ask a question, and we get one question, okay? It's not working. I mean, it's very clear. It doesn't work. I mean, four playoff wins. And, Tom, you played in one of them since the end of 92.
And I'm turning 54 next month.
Okay. Four playoff wins. So maybe you're comfortable with the arrangement.
Yes, that's the
case. But I'm here to tell you that your arrangement is not working. So if there was ever a moment that they should have done it, and they could have done it, and everyone understood, and it would have been applauded and cheered, they chose not to. And it's not because – it's not because George McCaskey doesn't want to win. He wants to win badly. He loves the Bears. But he doesn't have the ability to hire that person, clearly. And Ted's not going to hire that person. You know, Ted's been there since 99.
We've been batting this around, and Sylvie's been on this for a long time. Why is that bond so strong when you actually present the data that says that the relationship has not equated to consistent success on the field?
Tom, you are asking me to explain things that are unexplainable. Okay. I don't know. No one knows. No one can look at this objectively. And listen, I value good inter-office, like, relationships. Like, I don't have a problem with George liking to work with nice people. There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, that's great, right? I mean, Ryan Pace is a very nice person. I think Matt Nagy is a very nice person. He treats everyone in the building great. You know, I guess he thinks Ted's nice to him, whatever, right? There's nothing wrong with that, but it's not what you hinge your decision making on. I mean, yeah, it's great that everyone gets along, but you know what? You guys all get along and you don't win. And that is, there is nothing more important than winning. And guys, they haven't figured out a way to win consistently. And I hate to say this, but I mean, they're probably never going to figure it out. And I don't really know what happens. I don't know, you know, forecasting down the road, Does there a new team chairman come in at some point? I mean, does a younger generation of the family rise up? I don't have the answer to these questions, okay? But I'm telling you, based on what we have seen for 30 years almost, they don't know what they're doing as far as consistently putting a winning product on the field. And that's sad, and it really, again, just came across just blaring on the Zoom call Wednesday.
Yeah, preach. Good stuff. Before we let you go, two final things. Do you believe they're going to hire an in-house candidate for the defensive coordinator? And do you believe that Deshaun Watson is going to get traded?
I was not of the mindset that they were going to trade Deshaun Watson. But he clearly is unhappy. And, you know, Sylvie, as the days go by, I have just less and less confidence in the Texans. I know we talk about the Bears and what's going on there. Look at the decay of that franchise since Cal McNair took over. And, I mean, you know, Andre Johnson's taking shots at the Chaplain on Twitter this week. That was crazy. I mean, Andre Johnson's like one of the greatest Texans of all time. I mean, he's on Cap's Mount Rushmore of Texans, you know, next to J.J. Watt and probably, Deshaun and whomever else they might have there.
DeAndre Hopkins. Oh, wait, they traded
him. Yeah, they traded him. Arian Foster's probably on there. And Shaw. There you go. There's your Mount Rushmore of Texans players. But I honestly think, I mean, the way it's going, he might get traded. So I'll leave that as a strong might. You know, the defensive coordinator thing, it is not, so there's two things here. Sylvie, there's no good assistant coach who is on the NFL radar to be a coordinator one day. A good coach on a good team, very few of them will look at Chicago and say, oh yeah, sign me up for some of that. Give me that, right? Uh-huh. That's not going to happen. Now, there certainly can be an out-of-house candidate get the job, but more than likely, that candidate's going to be unemployed right now, all right? So if you're unemployed, you say, well, what the hell? Well, I mean, I'll roll the dice, right? I need a job. I mean, and it is, you know, Chicago, a good place to live. They'll probably pay a little bit. They're not going to pay like they paid Pagano and Fangio, but they're going to pay a little bit. So, yes, I think it could be out of house, but my guess is the easier move would be to promote in-house. And I think they probably should, because next year there's so much riding on it for everybody that they really want the defense
to learn
another language altogether.
Maybe everyone's getting 2 years. Maybe it's not win or else next year.
Well,
maybe
you know what? Hey, you know
maybe
what?
It's 2 years.
Hey, I referenced the Three Bears press conference. This was after the Sylvie era on the beat, right? Long after.
But I remember that well. We were on the air at that time, J.D.,
And you certainly were. And do you remember the absolute grand finale of the Three Bears press conference?
We all have extensions.
Extensions. I mean, I was like, whoa. That's when you knew this is way off the tracks here over at Lake Forest. So at least they had the awareness to not announce extensions yesterday. But Pace has 1 year left.
Really?
I don't know.
Really?
I mean, if they're
Really? Does he only have one? Does he only have one, or does he have two? Did they match him up? Really? Okay.
Pace has got one, and Nagy has two. I don't know why they wouldn't say that. That was so bizarre. Mm. It's in the media guide. Open the media guide. It says it tells you when Ryan Pace is signed through. It's not like it's a huge secret. I don't know what's going on there, but I digress. Now that, again, you talk about things that wouldn't shock me. I mean, it would be outrageous, right? And Sylvie would want to fight, but I'm telling you, I don't think that's completely out of the realm of possibility that there's going to be some Friday news dump. You know, maybe one of these days when something really bad is going on in the world, there'll be like a late Friday news dump that these guys got extensions, or they might not even announce it. You know, so I don't know. I wouldn't say that's blasphemy to say it's a possibility.
Good stuff, JD. We appreciate it. Thank you.
Well, guys, it's been a long week, and it's great talking to both of you. And I'd like to say that brighter days are ahead, but, you know, we cover
Go get some wine, okay?
Yeah, get your wine on, will you?
We got basketball practice tonight. Oh, man.
I'm not asking Parker to drink. I'm asking you to drink.
Bring the flask in the parking lot.
Yeah, come on.
See you, JD.
See you, buddy.
Bye, practice. There you go. JD on the Bears beat again, brought to you by Miller Lite. What to watch for is coming up. We'll preview the NFL playoffs. It's all next.
This hour is brought to you by our friends at 3CHI. That's the number 3CHI, the leader in hemp-derived cannabinoid products, Waddle. Visit 3CHI.com for more info and use promo code ESPN21 for 5% off.
When you miss your favorite interview, don't despair. Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app. It's Waddle and Sylvie.
ESPN 1000.
You what we're watching for this weekend, sports and otherwise. It's brought to you by our great friends at Swift & Sons American Steakhouse in the West Loop in the Fulton Market District. I saw this online. I saw this on TV. Have you guys said earlier, I think it was Black and Waddle, about how that area of the city is like Vail, you know? It feels with the street shut down and make it like Vail.
Yeah.
They're offering now like these new chalets.
Good. It's what they should have been doing. Chris, that was your and my suggestion, wasn't it?
It's what Swift & Sons is doing specifically. Chalets where, like, in the even more upscale, like, igloos where you could eat outdoors comfortably. And it's what Rob Katz and Kevin Boehm do best. They are innovators. That's why they won Restaurateurs of the Year a year ago. Their executive chef, Chris Pandel.
Just so like sitting outside eating around a fire pit. Come on,
you should see the pictures of that. Yeah. I believe they're called yurts.
Excuse me?
Yeah, I think they're called yurts.
Rent a yurt.
Rent, not a yurk. That would be dangerous.
Yeah, you don't want to rent a yurt.
I'm not kidding. If you guys come over to my neck of the woods, the West Loop, the Fulton Market District, you feel like you're in a ski town.
Yeah, I think it's great.
Because on Randolph and the Fulton Market, all over the place, all the restaurants have people outside getting the yurk.
Get your yurk.
No, a yurt.
Yurt.
Not a yurk.
Oh, well, you could bring yurt.
Are you sitting inside or is it like...
Go in the yurt?
It's going to be a smelly yurt.
Oh, well, what if you put the yurt inside the yurt?
Hey there, champ. You want to eat some sushi off my nips? Let's go.
Talk about staying warm, right?
What are you guys watching for this weekend? Why don't you begin?
Well, obviously, I'll grab some low-hanging fruit to start, and I would tell you the battle of the old guys. Has there ever been an NFL game in the postseason between two 40-plus-year-old quarterbacks, Tampa Bay and New Orleans? So I think that is something to watch. I saw a new show my wife and I started watching. You know me. It's from 2015, so it's like five or six seasons deep, but it's on Amazon Prime. It's called Bosch, and it's a police show, and I like it.
Like Chris Bosch, B-O-S-H?
B-O-S-C-H.
Waddle's doing What to Watch For from 2015.
I am.
I guarantee you these are shows that someone mentioned when they originally came out.
Yellowstone. But Yellowstone was something that I like all of these shows that I would have never watched a lot of these shows back in the day because there was always something going on or something happening.
Right.
But since you've been locked in your house with a pandemic, you're exhausting the catalog of television shows that you never were exposed to. And this is another one that I found. Sylvie, you won't like it as much as Yellowstone, but if you've got some spare time, check it out. It's on Amazon Prime.
I am looking for a new show. I want to give you a couple of selfish things. Tonight, 6:30 on the Bulls pregame show on NBC Sports Chicago Plus. They're on the 201 channel tonight, the Bulls. They're doing a feature on me and my journey this summer. So they're doing like a health segment. Check that out. And tonight I'm on the GN Sports Show talking Bears at 10:30.
Wow.
So,
look at you. Double shot of Sylvie.
Well, JP.
Triple header because I'm going on Braggs's his podcast tonight.
Damn!
Too.
So you won't be drinking?
Would you lose a bet?
No, I'm drinking.
Oh, you are. So you're going to be on Channel 9 tonight.
I taped the GN and the NBC stuff.
Oh, you already taped it?
Yes, the TV stuff I taped.
Oh, okay.
But I'm watching Cobra Kai. I mean, we've mentioned Cobra Kai.
I haven't
Kai
seen
before,
that yet.
Right?
I got to check.
I'm midway through season 3. It's still living up to it. It is what it is. But I love what it is, and I think it's got a good heart, too. It's cheesy, yes, with a good heart.
Nice heart.
And that's good. What are you guys watching for?
I'm going to let Abdallah go first because I think we're both going to be on the same beat. So, Abdallah, I'll let you have
it. We talking serial killers?
Yeah, hell yeah.
Yeah, Netflix, yeah. The Night Stalker. Yeah. Four episodes about Richard Ramirez and hunting the Night Stalker. Look, I haven't seen any of it.
It just
came out this week. But it's four episodes and it's Netflix, which probably means it could be two. But it's, I am fascinated by the hunt for 70s and 80s era 70 killers.
Me too. I love that.
I watched it all last night. Oh. It's fantastic.
Okay.
So I will co-sign that. And also, something that's old, not quite as old as what Waddle suggested, but because of the pandemic, we're not really seeing movies like we usually do. I caught the final hour and a half of The King of Staten Island last night.
It's great.
That movie's fantastic.
It is. It's really good.
And you said heart, Sylvie. There's some heart there.
There's a lot of heart
there's
there.
There's a lot of heart in that movie. That's a fantastic movie. Yes.
Plays the fireman.
Bill Burr.
But the mustache threw me off. I'm like, that's Bill Burr.
You want a fun fact, Sylvie? Abdallah and I interviewed Bill Burr in college on our radio show.
That is fantastic. Was he nice?
Super nice.
He was awesome. My God. And he sniffed it out. He goes, you guys are college kids, aren't you? And we were like, yeah. He's like, all right, I'll talk for a half now. Let's rip it up. Let's go.
He was hysterical. He was in town to do a show, and he went, he was up in his hotel room with his girlfriend. He's like, guys, I got to get out of here. Hold on a second. Let me call you back in 2 minutes. Here's my cell. Call me back in 2 minutes. We're fighting. I got to get out of here. And they were fighting.
He was great.
He walked downstairs into the lobby and did like half an hour with us. It was great.
King of Staten Island. Like there's some heart there.
Nice.
Yeah. It's good.
I like that. All right. So there you go. What to watch for. Brought to you by our great friends at Swift & Sons and their yurts. Coming up in 2 short minutes, we'll preview the NFL playoffs. And would you root for the Packers if I told you it's better for the Bears? That's in 2 minutes. What?